The following is a presentation of Grace Covenant Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
Pivotal piece, we're going to revisit that with some examples today, and kids, will use some of you guys for those examples. So be ready. And then we're going to dig into verses 6 and 8. And if we have time, only if, we'll delve into some of the 9, 10, 11, and 12. Right? That'd be kind of cool. So, but before we do this, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word. Have that Word just jump right out and go in our hearts. How about that? So let's do that. So let's pray this morning. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lovely day that you've made, but we just thank you for Jesus Christ, who came and died for us, who took our sins, who made us in good standing with you, Lord, so we don't have to die eternally. We can go to heaven with you. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us and how you justified us and continue to sanctify us, continue to make us more. We just thank you for everything. Lord, we pray this day that the Holy Spirit will come in our heart, will reveal the very Word of God to us, will apply it, will make it real for us so we can change and become more like you. And we pray that happens this morning with these, your very words from Romans. And we ask this in your precious holy name, amen. So last week, we defined what justification was. And so I want to ask you, the back row wasn't here last week, so you guys, if you don't need to answer, that's fine. But for the rest of us, really smart people, right, what did we think justification was? What did we believe it was? And I'll start out. I'm the first one always starts out. You know, one of the things we talked about was that, you know, justification is kind of getting right with God, getting right with him. What else could it be? What else did we say it was? Any ideas? I got all the answers here, so if you don't have them, I'm okay. But I want to give you a chance to be part of this, because you are this morning. So what do you think? Justification. Any ideas? The word? God getting us right with him. Now, we have to do something, because he did that on the cross, right? But we have to do something to receive that, right? And so, even in the Old Testament, he uses Abraham, and he talks about faith alone. That it's the faith alone in the one who has the justice, the righteous, has everything for us, right? And so, I wrote down that also, good, great, thanks for sharing that. It's to be acquitted in his court, because he's a just and righteous God, right? He will by no means clear the guilty. And be righteous, even not, you know, be perfect, even though the Father in heaven is perfect. And we're not, because we know that, what about our sins? What do we know about our sins? For all what? All fallen short of the glory of God, right? Right? And so we know, this justification is, and I wrote down here, being declared, and probably, I probably wrote it down here, so let's see. Oh, being declared righteous. And you're getting that, having the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and our sins imputed to him. Here's the thing, declared, right? We don't become righteous, right? Here's the thing, we do not become righteous, but we're counted as righteous or in right standing with God. While we were still ungodly, it'll say in the verses here, well, we're still yet sinners. Let's show that, right? All right. So, Noah, come on up here, man. Noah. All right. Ava Grace, come on up here. All right, Noah. Okay. Here we go. All right. So, we all said that we were, for all of sin, of the glory of God. I have the red t-shirt today to show us that we're all sinners. Now, yes, I did red because we are covered with the blood, but here's, we got red here. So we're going to do red.
We're all sinners, but we have to pick somebody, okay? So here we go. All right, so let's put this on. All right, get your hands in there. Get your hand in there. All right, here we go. All right, for all sin comes to our glory of God, we've got to register it on, right? And so God says that we are declared righteous, not become righteous, but declared righteous, for He counts us. It's an accounting term. We'll talk about it. We saw it last week. He credits, right? He credits us as righteous, or He sees us, and He says, yep, I record that in my profit and loss statement. It's all profit because I'm not counting you as sinners. So we'll even look at that. But here we go. All right, so you are playing the role of God. Congratulations. All right. Remember. So here we go. All right. So He counts us as righteous while we're still yet sinners. So He counts us. So He's going to put this shirt over this. So go ahead and put that shirt on your brother. All right. Here we go. Now, by the way, this happens like that. Right? Justification happens immediately. And we talked about last week that it's through faith. And so once you have faith, you immediately, God has His justification things going, and He counts. Now, make it a little bit better because you're God. Alright. So here's the thing. So He counted us as righteousness. So here we go. So when God looks at us, what does He see? Righteousness of Christ, right? Because it's in Jesus Christ. So cool. Now, he says He does this while we're still what? We're still sinners, right? We're not made righteous, but we become credited as righteous. So we still are. Now, here's the cool thing. Once we accept the Lord and we learn about, Him and His truths and start applying it, and we begin to believe things and trust in the truth of His Word, right? And we then believe, and then we change, because we talked about actions. We say, hey, what are you doing? You can't undo this, right? What happens to the red shirt? So if you ever wash red, keep washing it, what happens to the things you keep washing in real hot water? It fades. And that's the sanctification process, right? Yeah, I know you're wearing, what is it called? Sanctification. So it starts fading. But we still are ungodly. But to God, we're covered by, another reason to regret, we're covered by the blood. Okay? And He sees us through Jesus, and He sees us in this. Now, you still got this corruptible body going on here, so we know that we're waiting for our glorified body. Right? But here we go. There we go. Thank you very much. That's good. Hey, Hunter! Romans, when Rusty was talking about this, in back in these verses, it really sets it up. And Paul introduces the whole thing of justification through faith, and that works. And so what happens is, we found out that, he's going to teach us about this in chapter 4. He's going to take this justification by faith, it's not works, and he's going to make it jump out at us in Scripture through using Abraham and David. Right? And he starts using them in chapter 4 to explain the process even more in 3. Right? So he's just using these characters. Now, one of the reasons... You're recording this. I'd rather just not...
Alright, so one of the reasons he does this is he uses Abraham and David is why? What do you think? Well, we learned last week that the Jews were having a hard time believing in this justification stuff by faith alone. What was challenging the Jews last week when he wrote this to the Roman church, the Christians, but they were Jewish. What were challenging them? What got in the way? We talked about that last week because it's important to understand that. And the reason why is it still challenges some of us today. So what was challenging them? Remember? Okay, Satan challenges us all the time, but through Jesus who conquered Satan, we can always conquer him through the authority of Jesus Christ, but he does conquer us. What else was challenging? Thank you very much. What happened to your t-shirt? You took it off. All right. What else was? self-righteousness, right? And yeah, big self-righteous. They just thought themselves. In fact, that was led by the works, right? They thought they could do it. They don't need anybody else. They could do it, right? What else? Rudy, you said something. Yeah. So we'll talk. Yeah. So you're tapping into some of the things we talked about last week was genealogy. You know, they thought if, and that's why it's so important, especially in Matthew, you see all this genealogy roll out. They thought if they were part of the lineage of Christ when he came, because they didn't believe he came, right? Then that, so they're depending on that, not on the person of Jesus Christ, a lineage. What about the big one, the big L? Law, right? Yeah, they depended on the law, which was, you know, I can understand that, but, you know, that's what's challenging them. All right? Let me go through this real quick. Yeah, so they were depending on the law. What else were they dependent on? Now we're getting down to the dredges. Okay, well, it's okay to ask what else. Circumcision, very nice. Circumcision. In fact, in verses 9, right, starting at 9, he'll even talk about Abraham. He'll talk about him, hey, did he do this God, the justification alone by faith, believing and all that? Did he do that before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? And Paul does some really cool things there, which actually builds the whole picture of including everybody that God died for in this, which is really neat. And that's why he begins to lay this out, and he uses that circumcision and uncircumcision piece to do that. And that's what's really cool. That's coming up. So, very, very, very cool. All right. So, in this one, he says, hey, so we looked at Romans 4:1. What then shall we say, Abraham? So he uses Abraham and he uses David because another challenge was they were really big on believing the heroes of that time, the heroes of the faith. And so some of the heroes of the faith was Abraham and David. And we talked about that a little last week. Is there still people that believe in heroes and they puff them up like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man or the Michelin Man? I've seen the Michelin Man. He's kind of puffed up. They put them on a pedestal. Are the people today that put things on a pedestal and they kind of like lessen God and increase? There are people today. And so that's no different. A lot of times we really try to, you know, beat down the Jews. Hey, we are the same. We are absolutely the same. There's people in Christian faith that write tons of books and things, and we kind of puff them up sometimes. It's okay to use them and write and really dig in, but they're no different, right? There's only one righteous person. We get righteousness through Jesus. All right, so this is what he says. So he asks this really cool question here in one. He says, all right, so what happens here with Abraham? And all he's talking about here is, what did Abraham find out, you know? So he asked the people, his readers, to think about, these Jewish people, to think about what happened when Abraham depended on his own. And he's kind of setting them up. All right? We know what happens when we depend on our own. What happens? We get in trouble. Yeah. Well, when Abraham, did Abraham get into trouble when he depended on his own? We talked about last week that Abraham kind of had a hot wife. Good-looking wife. Right? Right? That's how you put it. I mean, that's, you know. And so he was so worried, so he kept lying about that he wasn't his wife. He said, nah, she's my sister. All right? And he gets into trouble by doing those kind of things. Because he didn't believe that God would protect him, deliver him. You know? I mean, humanly. What else did he do when he said, hey, you're going to have a child. Everything's going to be cool. Even though you're older than dirt, you're going to have a child. So what did they do? They laughed. Talk about laughing at God. Right? Again, don't get so down on them. I mean, have you ever got angry with God? Yeah. Yeah. Remember, his ways aren't our ways, so, you know, just not. Yeah, and so they tried to circumvent all that stuff. Right? So he wants them to think about that because they were really focusing on works, right? Again, we talked about this last week, so we're doing it. And two, it says, real quickly, again, we're going through some of the stuff we went through last week real quick. For if Abraham was justified, by the way, I use the Amplified version for the Nice Wingers. That's the loudest version that I could find. It's amplified. It also gives us some more words so we can I can help me understand. I'm not as cool as you guys. I got to really dig, right? Grow a long bird? No, I can spin a guitar and call myself ZZ. But that's it. So he says, well, if Abraham was justified. Now, the if means if he was, he's setting up a hypothetical. This never happened, but he's doing it to try to say, I'm going to say something that would agree to your way of thinking, the works way of thinking. But this never happened. But I want you to, again, in verse 1, he talks about think about this. So he's setting them up. So this Paul guy is pretty sharp. Right. So he only got sharp after he got hit by lightning, by God. So, yeah. But anyways, if Abraham was justified, that is acquitted from the guilt of his sins, right, by faith alone, but if he was justified by works, not by faith alone, but if he is justified by works, those things that he did were good. By the way, we know our things aren't good, right? Our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. There is no good. No, there's anybody. No, not one. Right. Then he has something to boast about, but not before God. Because why is that? Why can't we boast before God? Well, it's coming. We talked about why, but it's coming. All right. So in Romans, he talks about boast is nothing before God because all we can't boast because we've all fallen short. We all have that red shirt. We're all red shirted, Rudy. We're all red shirted. We have nothing to boast before God. Right? We all fallen short. Patricia, you said that. We all fallen short. So this verse 2 rules out all boasting before a righteous and just God. So keep moving. Verse 3. Again, we talked about this last week. That's why I'm moving faster. For what does the scripture say? And he pulls this out of Genesis 15:6. He says that Abraham believed, trusted, relied on God, and it was credited. There's that word again, credited. We're going to see this word throughout this whole thing. We'll show this to you even later, and when we get into 6, 7, and 8, to his account as righteousness. Okay? So he answers the question, 1, what does Abraham believe? And this is it. He believes in God. And it was credited, had faith in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, as right standing. We're still sinners, but now we are in right standing with God. Right? And so he's talking about that to the Jews, the Old Testament Jews. And so he brings them back to the Genesis. He says, look at this. If you have faith in God, you're good. Now, again, now he's introducing justification as it applies to Jesus for us, which is kind of cool. Right, to the use now. All right, so here we go. Once again, he wasn't made righteousness in all his doings. He didn't become righteousness performing works. He became righteous by what? Faith. Yeah, thank you. Faith. Yeah. All right. Credited righteousness. Counted perfect is right. I'm moving through here. Now, in verse 4, now he's going to take, what is he doing here? He's going to take an example, he's going to break it out, and 4 and 5 are just amazing. He actually takes what he just said, and he breaks it out for us. He explains it even more for us, which is good, because I don't know about you, I need a lot more help and explanation. Sometimes I just don't get it, you got to hit me over the head. So he's going to do that for us here. So in Romans 4:4, he says, now to a laborer, now, why does he use this word? What did the Jews believe in? Works? Works. So now for the laborer, the one that works, it'd be another one, right? His wages. So he's actually putting their beliefs into the foxhole, and now he's going to show them that what they believe is not true. And so he uses laborer. So this is another one that's cool. This really ties the wages of sin. This is really neat. So watch this. So he says, hey, for the laborer, what does it say? His wages are not credited as a favor or a gift or grace, but as an obligation. He says, if you're working for your justification, what you're doing is you are working for a wage. Because if I work and I get paid, I get owed something and I get owed a wage. Right? If I go to work, I'm not working just for fun. I'm working to get money, get a wage, right? And he says here, it's not, you don't get it as a nice little gift. You should be getting a wage. You should be owed something. So what's he doing here is he says, if we are trying to work to earn our right standing with God, we're expecting God to owe us something. Well, he does. He owes us a wage. So what is the wages of works? Right. The wages of sin, right? We got the red shirt. He's red. He still has sin. The wages of sin is what? So you're working really hard for what? Kind of silly, isn't it? Yeah. You get paid. The harder you work, right? And that's why he says it this way. In verse 5, he just takes it home. So in verse 5, you kind of split this up in three parts. Okay? But to the one who does not work. All right, so he talked about the worker in 4. Now he's going to talk about the one who does not work. All right? So the one who does not work, that means what? About what are they doing versus working? Well, no, because this is a cool verse. He talks about workers, and then if you're not working in this sense, if you're not working for your justification to be in right standing with God, then what are you doing? You're trusting God, right? So the one who does not work, that means the one who does not try to earn salvation by doing good, but believes, right? Look at that, it even says it next. But believes, completely trusts in him who justifies the ungodly. There you go. He still justifies us, but we still got that red shirt. He justifies us, the ungodly. I think that's so cool. We talked about the gift of grace. I'm trying to think if there's some real cool point here. And the point is, if we get gifted something, normally, in a human standpoint, if I give Rusty a gift, notice the word I used if, it's a hypothetical. But if so, I'm going to give Rusty a gift. I'm doing it because I like Rusty. Okay? So that gift, unmerited, that grace that I'm extending to Rusty through a gift, right? I like him. Here's the cool point. When God extends grace to us, he extends grace to the ungodly. He switches the whole thing around. When you look at the definition of grace from a human standpoint, it's giving things to people we like. But God gave us something and we hated him. The ungodly. That's a huge point. That if you don't miss it. All right. I get excited about this stuff, so sorry. I'm sorry you have to sit down. I wish you were standing up like me. All right. So he talks about here, so believes in him, complete trust in him, and justifies the ungodly. His faith is, here's the word again, is what? Credited. We don't become righteous. We get credited righteousness. That's why we remember in the Paul thing, well, I really wanted to do good, but I still struggled to do good. And that's because we're not sanctified. We're in the process. Right? We're in the process of becoming like Christ. But it's a process. My shirt's fading. Some days it fades, and some days it's alive, and it gets redder. I don't know about you, but it just does. Credit to him is righteousness. All right? So that was 5. Now, knowing all that, let's jump into 6. Okay? So here we go. You're going to love this. I'm jumping through this real quick. For those that are listening, I got a PowerPoint going. All right, so 6, it says this. And in the same way, so we just got done with verse 5, all these verses, and he says, hey, faith is what? Justification is by faith alone, not by works, but it's by faith alone. In that same way, he says, the same way that I just got done talking about, David's going to speak of a blessing on one whom God credits righteousness apart from works. So this is easy to understand, but he's going to throw us a curveball. All right? So he says, hey, We just got done with Romans 4, chapter 1 through 5, and we just learned this faith alone thing. The same way David speaks of this blessing, but watch what he uses. He's going to flip it. He says the same way, but now he's going to introduce this idea of forgiveness. So he's going to build, right now we have faith alone, right, righteousness, and it's credited to us, right, by God. So now God, he's going to say, but there's something else about this justification, something that you don't get credited, that's part of the whole thing. I only gave you part of the credit. Now I'm going to not credit you something. Watch this. So it's cool. He says this thing here, but then he's going to turn it because he's going to quote Psalms in verse 7 and 8. So he quotes Psalms here and he says, blessed and happy and favored are those whose lawless acts have been forgiven. Okay? And whose sins have been covered up and completely buried. So versus crediting something, he's now not going to credit something. Which is really cool. So he said, just as, so he makes this really cool thing, Barry. He says, just as we just talked about how God credited this thing, I'm going to share some verses that are the same, but they're kind of like the same difference. It's the same, but it's different because the first part was how God credits something. Now he's going to talk about how God does not credit our sin against us. And so that's the difference. So the first part he talked about crediting, now he's talking about not crediting. In verse 8, he says, blessed and happy and favored are the man whose sin and the Lord will what? Not take into account, not credit, nor change against him. Now, it had a lot of, if you look in your Bibles, and if you look at 6, 7, and 8, you see the word blessed and blessing, right? You see that? You ever heard the word, oh, just bless their heart? Right. And you know what that's code for? Those knuckleheads. Just knuckle, right? That's not what blessing means. It's how we use it, but that's not what it means. Blessing is really weird. So I wanted to talk to you about this. It's this word. I can't even, what is that? Just, Rusty, can you see the screen? What is that word? Okay. I kind of looked at it and I thought Macarena, but that one did. All right. Yeah. But what it means is, it means between you and God, all is well. Even if the circumstances are horrible. Even if you're in a storm. Even if somebody died and you're weeping. Even if you have cancer and you're dying. You're still blessed because between you and God, all is well. That's what this means. And it's important because if it was dependent on our circumstances, then we would be up with God and down with God, up with God and down with God, up with God. We'd be on a roller coaster. But blessing means you're still right with God even though something happens and you're sad. You're still right with God. God understands that you're sad because he even wept. God understands because he was tested in all ways that we are. But he was still one with the Father, in union with the Father. The Holy Spirit can help us with that. As we go through our circumstances, can really help us with that. When the Holy Spirit does help us with that, and we still remain faithful to God, and we're in right standing, righteous with God, we are blessed. That's what he's talking about here. Even though we're in the storm, we're blessed. Even though we're yelling and screaming, where are you, God? God's coming, walking on the water to us. Right? That's why you have all those great stories of the Bible. So he says this, in the same way God speaks this blessing on us to the one who credits. Blessed and happy and favored. We're in right standing, happy and favored with the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. So there again, we're blessed. We're in right standing, even though, and the reason, some of the reasons we're not in right standing is because not only faith alone, but also is that God doesn't credit our sin. In this case, will not take into account if we trust in him, if we have faith in him alone. All right? So this is cool. All right, quickly moving through this. So that's the word blessed. So now he's not reckoning sin. So here we go. God credits righteousness apart from works, right? Which is righteousness. But he also does something. He doesn't credit our sin, which is cool. And that's, we call that forgiveness. Both the not crediting of sin forgiveness and the crediting his righteousness on us is all about justification. It's those two things that are happening. Not just one, but remember, when you have faith, you're not only getting in right standing with God because he credits his righteousness on you. You don't become, but you would get credited that way. He sees you that way. He writes it in the account that way. But he also does something else. He doesn't record the sin. Why? What happens to our sin? Why? If he doesn't record it, he's still just and righteous. So he had to take care of it somehow. How did he take care of our sin? On the cross, right? We know the verses. He imputes it, right? For the Lord laid on him the iniquities, the sins of us all, is in Scripture, right? And so that's what's going on. He credits Jesus. He imputes that sin on Jesus, right? And so he doesn't have to credit it on us because it's one of the game counting terms. He doesn't do that. We're taken care of. He did it somewhere else. He did it on the statement of Jesus. Is that cool? I mean, that's really cool. Okay. We're getting there. We're doing good. We're doing right on time, by the way. All right. Yeah, right on time. Righteousness. So righteousness can't be attained by anything we do, works. It's all on him. Both sides of the coin, right? He gives us the things we can't get, and he takes us away the things we can't get rid of. He does it all. He does all the work. We can't. Right? So we can't do that. So he says, and that's why he says the 2 points in verse 1 through 4 in Romans 4, righteousness is not obtained by works. And then in 6, 7, and 8, he says forgiveness is not obtained by works. So then what are works? Because we still want to do good works, but we can't do good works first without him because we're ungodly. We just can't. But it's, so what are good works? I don't have it in the lesson, but I thought it was important to talk about it. So what are good works? By the way, when can we do good works? Before or after we accept Jesus? Yeah, after. Now we know they don't count. They don't count for what? Count. I see me, you know, in your class, I see putting a little box around things. And well, sure. But our righteousness is what? You got to put it in how Jesus and God look. You got to put, right, he's just and righteous. He created, he's everything. The Alpha Omega, right? And his ways aren't our ways. And so he's a just God, so he has to be just, right? And so he's going to look at good works, but what are they to him prior to knowing him? Nothing. You can't work your way. But after it, obedience to God, that's the key, right? I think we talk about this sometimes. Obedience to God is the key. And as you become obedient and more Christ-like, and you do things through him, not through you. But when you do things as he resources and calls you to do them, or as you know in Scripture, this is how I become more Christ-like. I'm going to do these things. But you do it through him, not through you. You are downsized. He is upsized. He's the 64,000 gallon super gulp cup that you got to give drink. He's super. Right? And we are the downsized. We are become less, he's become more. And as you do it and you allow him to work through you through the Holy Spirit, then that work's going to be good because he's going to be in it, he's going to resource it, and he's going to do it through you, not you doing it through you. Huh? What? Hey, just enjoy the shirts. All right? Okay. So in 9, he jumps to 9. Says he said all that. Now he's going to jump on 9. We got a whole 9 minutes so we can cover some of this. So next week, this is what we're going to cover. So like Rudy said, and some other people said, circumcision. So they were hung up on circumcision. So this is what he's going to do. He's now going to talk to them about Abraham, who back in Genesis, 430 some, maybe even more years before the law, I don't know exactly, I remember reading it somewhere, 430, okay, yeah, believed in faith alone, right? And so he says he wasn't circumcised, and he believed. But they were hung up on circumcision, which is really kind of like, it's a seal. All right, it kind of lets you know, hey. So what he's going to do, he's going to present this in a cool way that actually brings in the rest of us, the Gentiles, the dogs. Hey, we go. They used to call Gentiles dogs. So we're all dogs. The dogs. Who let the dogs out? Jesus. All right, so here we go. So he says this. Is this the blessing only for circumcised, which you guys think, or also for the uncircumcised? Good question to ask. So now he says, for we say faith was credited to Abraham righteousness. Okay, we know that. We learned that. Here we go. He continues. How then was it credited to him? Was it after he had been circumcised or before? We know the answer to that is before. Right? Not after, but while he was uncircumcised. Oh, well, give me a few more verses. And he does. So he gives you a few more verses to explain it. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal or confirmation of the righteousness, right? Just like baptism, buried in Christ, right? And raised to walk in newness of life. It's a beautiful picture, right? So this is kind of like a picture. So it's a seal of confirmation of righteousness. He had by faith while he was still, what? Uncircumcised, you knucklehead people who believe. But that's okay. We believe in things. We got to get help, right? This was so that he would be the spiritual faith father, right, of all who believed without being uncircumcised. He's the spiritual father of all those believe who are not circumcised. Who is he talking about? Do you know? Rusty, what do you think? Okay. So he says, this was so that he would be the spiritual father who believed without being circumcised. Who wasn't circumcised? The Gentiles, those before Abraham. God so loved the world, which included Jews and the rest of us, right? These were uncircumcised. And so he begins to graft that in, right? So that righteousness would be credited to them. And so this is where he begins to bring in the rest of everybody, which is kind of cool. Last part here. Stay with me. We only got like 3 minutes. Can you hang out for 3 minutes? Sure you can. Now this is cool. This is what we're going to go fast. This is like the ESPN of Romans 4. All right. So here we go. And that he would be the spiritual father. So first, he just got done saying he's going to be the spiritual father of the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, the rest of the world. But now he's also the spiritual father of those who are circumcised, Ken, which is the people he's talking to, the Jews, right? Who not only circumcised, but was also walked in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had before he was circumcised. All right. Paul is coming at what he rolled out in Romans 3:21 to the end, which is justification by faith alone. He's rolling out these examples to us, one after another after another. And I don't know about you, but I felt like, okay, already. I'm done. How many times are you going to tell me this? Well, I don't know, but I don't know about you, but my wife has to tell me things more than once. She just does, because I don't get it. And when you believe in something, you got to be told more than once, because you're not going to change just because once. In sales, Rudy, what do they say? 7 times at least, right? People don't, just because you said it, mean they don't hear it, right? Now, you know that, Ken. They don't hear it. You got to say it over and over and over again. Those of us that still have kids, how many times you have to, sometimes, I don't know, you got to say it over and over and over again, right? Yeah, 7 times 7 now, right? He takes it and expands it, doesn't he? It's great. So the reason Paul is focused on the truth that God's righteousness is credited to people by faith alone from works is, okay, I got that, and I said, listen, Paul, we got this in Romans 3:22. We got this whole idea again in Romans 3:28. We got it in the first verses, Romans 4:1-4, and now we're getting it again. Why are you doing it over and over and over again? Is it just because we kind of hear it 7 times 70? And no. Because, again, he's trying to convince us. He's trying to help us see the light. Sometimes people don't see things. And so he wanted to help us, and he has to do that because it takes a while for me to change. I don't know about you, but it takes a while for me to change. He wants to undercut our boasting, which goes right to the matter of we can't do it. He can. We need him. He can. He's the only one that can. Right? We saw that already. Second is Paul's trying to preserve the blessedness, being in right standing, I'm good with God, of the imputed righteousness. I'm good with God by letting God do this because I can't. I'm good with God by allowing God to credit me the righteousness that I can't because my righteousness is as filthy rags, right? I'm good with him doing that. I'm also really good with him not crediting my sin. Forgive me, right? I mean, I'm all in for that. And everyone should be because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? But in these verses now, starting at 9 and coming back, going back down, he's going to tap into these things, these two things. And so next week, we're going to look at some of this stuff. He keeps us clear in a proper place of works and acts of obedience. So he's going to say, all right, if it's by faith alone, there is a place for works of obedience. And I'm going to roll out that picture for you, what that looks like. So you, when you do that, you're doing it out of God, not apart from him. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. With him, I can do through him. Yeah, through him. Again, it's not like I put on a knapsack or a backpack and go hiking with God and I pull him out when I need him. No. A lot of the evangelicals or whoever, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're evangelical. Lots of people do that, right? No, God's carrying us. Right? He's carrying us. All right. Proper place of works and acts of obedience. Number 4, he opens the way for all people, Jews and Gentiles, to be the children of God. And that's, you know, which is going to be it's a big change for those Jews. Huge change. What do you mean? I thought it was us four and no more by some Baptist churches. Right? Or some I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Baptist. Right? He says, no. For God so loved the what? The world. He loves everybody. Right? Not just us four and no more. Or not just this denomination. All right. I think we are there. That's the lesson this morning. Let's get ready for worship.